Our lesson today comes from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 18. Hear God's word. Since God has so generously let us in on what he's doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we've run into occasional hard times. We refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. And we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. If our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we're holding back in any way. No, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. All they have eyes for is the fashionable god of darkness. They think he can give them what they want and that they won't have to bother believing a truth they can't see. They're stone blind to the dayspring brightness of the message that shines with Christ, who gives us the best picture of God we'll ever get. Remember, our message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Master. And all we are is messengers, errand runners from Jesus for you. And it started when God said, "Light up the darkness," and our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. And if you only look at us, you might miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. And that's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. And we've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder, and what Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at a constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. And while we're going through the worst, you're getting in on the best. We're not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, "I believed it, so I said it," we say what we believe. And what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you alive. Every detail works to your advantage and to God's glory. More and more grace, more and more people, more and more praise. So, we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making a new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. And the things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now, they will last forever. May God give us hope and understanding. And let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Those of us who've been around a few years have seen a few storms. We've seen a few things happen. So we think about even tomorrow, September 11th, we remember a big storm that shook us to our core, some years back. But we also see that as storms blow in, they blow out. And God's faithfulness remains the same. It's also striking as we look at the circumstances that we're seeing right now and the ways that we're able to see it that would not have been possible years ago, but technology makes possible. And perhaps the most amazing thing, for instance, as we look at the storms that hit Houston, is the way that it didn't divide people, but it brought people together. It brought them together in loving ways of caring for each other, across politics, across nationalities, across skin color, across gender. The only thing that was important was caring for each other. And this continues to be a theme that we often forget. We live in a culture that intentionally tries to divide us. That's how they sell new products. That's how they sell policies. That's how they sell politicians. They try to get people on opposite sides, angry at each other, angry at the circumstances, and try to get them to forget that we're actually people who care for each other, who want to help, who want to make a difference, who don't want people to suffer or hurt. Paul certainly went through his share of suffering. It's kind of staggering when you think about a lot of it. Did you know that 5 times he was beaten by the Jews with 39 stripes? That was sort of a Roman tradition that apparently the Jews picked up. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. 3 times he was on ships that sank. And he spent a night and a day floating in the sea, probably just holding on to a plank of wood. He was also imprisoned, as we know, many, many times. Having been through all that, you would think if anybody would give up, he'd be the one, wouldn't you? If anybody would wonder where God was in the midst of it, it would be him, right? But no. He saw the face of God, he heard the word, and he wasn't about to give up on anything. He had the chance to see what was important and to know what was important. And he wanted everyone else to hear that as well and be blessed by it. So no matter what obstacles he faced, he knew that what happened in this world, in this lifetime, wasn't what really mattered. And he had his eyes firmly on that prize. That's not easy for us, is it? We want to do for others, but we also want to cover our own back. We don't want others to suffer, but we feel at times in competition. And especially when there are so many loud voices and false gods out there trying to seduce us, trying to tease us with other options. And we find so many ways to justify them. It's so easy to make excuses, to make sure that we're okay, that not only are needs met, but to make sure that we're comfortable, that we have what we want. And that is a tough, tough battle that we continue to fight as human beings. And sometimes one of our excuses is, you know, look at me, what can I do? What can I do? And it'd be very easy for us as a little congregation to say that. What can we do? We think of those homely little clay pots, those broken little pots. Well, there's an interesting story about years ago a museum that had collected a number of ancient things, you know, beautiful things. And they had these beautiful golden things, and then they had, along with it, there were these clay pots, and they were kind of wondering, well, why would they have put these ugly pots in with all the valuable stuff that they were saving? So this one day in the museum, there was someone who was checking things out and saw this bit of light go through the crack in a pot, and it sort of lit up in an interesting way. What they found was that in those clay pots were valuable jewels hidden away in something that looked like it had no value whatsoever. And the point that Paul was trying to make that we may not be aware of is that we are those clay pots that have something so valuable inside that we ourselves may not even be aware of. And when that comes out, it's not when times are easy, not when times are good, but in the difficult times. That's when our true selves comes out in the light. And that's when we have the choice, like Paul, are we going to give in to our hardships? Or are we going to trust God and see the opportunity in those challenges facing us? That's not easy, is it? It's a challenge that faces us all the time. And the thing is, too, that a lot of times, because of the values of our culture, the things that are important get disregarded. And things that really don't have value are held up as being valuable. And so much of it can get political, and as we are pitted against each other. One of the things that Jackie was sharing when she was down in the Houston area, they were looking at some of the areas that were hardest hit. And what they found, not surprisingly, is that those who are poor and have little end up in the areas that are most vulnerable. Because that's the place the wealthy don't want to go. If you have money, you don't want to go there. And so as they were visiting with him and trying to find ways to help, one of the things that came out was that they weren't looking for handouts. They wanted to figure out ways. They appreciated the kindness. They appreciated people's involvement. But they also wanted to keep their own dignity. And it is enormously painful to them in the midst of their hardships to be further pushed into the ground as being worthless. And for people to make assumptions about them that because they're poor, because they don't have a lot, it's because they're not working or because they're not trying. But what is happening is that gap grows and grows and grows between the wealthy and those who are not. It is making it almost impossible for people who don't have the means, who don't have the resources, to just even support themselves and their families. And when they're fighting so hard and struggling so hard to then on top of it be told, well, you're just not trying hard enough. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the pain? I mean, I'm one of the lucky ones. But as I've shared with you, I had that opportunity to be one of those with nothing, to be stripped away from everything, and to feel a lot of the negative feelings, to feel the resentment, even though I was fighting so hard and working multiple jobs and trying to even start my own business and trying everything that I possibly could, where it seemed like there were no answers. The only thing that helped me was that people of faith tried to help me get on my feet. So here we are, during a difficult, challenging time. And we have choices. Just as Paul had choices, just as Christians through every generation have had choices. Are we going to be those who just look out for our own welfare? Are we going to be those who buy into the false gods and the false arguments? Are we going to be those who buy into the divisiveness? Or are we going to keep our eyes on Jesus and how he lived? Are we going to keep our eye on those things that he calls us to in loving our neighbor, caring for the sick and the poor, caring for the migrants, caring for those who have so little but try so hard, even loving our enemy? Or are we going to turn our backs? The hard times can either bring out our best or bring out our worst. My prayer is that as with those people who've been showing their true, beautiful selves down in Houston, I pray that whatever storm blows into our lives, that we too will be fearless and that we will put love and God first. Let us pray. Almighty God, these are indeed challenging times. These are indeed scary times for many. But I pray, Lord, that you might use these challenges to bring out the best in us. I pray that you would make us fearless no matter what storm blows in. I pray that you would help us to put love first, no matter what the cost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.